verses 18 to 38, and you'll find that on page 814 of the Pew Bible. Matthew 9, beginning with verse 18, and let's ask God's blessing as we come to look at His Word. Oh Lord our God, we give You thanks for Your holy Word and for the truth that is contained in that Word, for the way it reveals You and teaches us about You. And we pray that You would build us up in our faith and in our commitment to Christ as we meditate now upon Your Word. Open Your Word to us by Your Spirit, and open our hearts to receive it in faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 9, beginning with verse 18. And this comes right after Jesus had been at the feast at Matthew's house, and questions had been asked about fasting and various other things. And we then proceed and we read, "While he was saying these things to them, behold, a ruler came in and knelt before him, saying, 'My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live.' And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a discharge of blood for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, 'If I only touch his garment, I will be made well.' Jesus turned, and seeing her, he said, 'Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well.' And instantly the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players and the crowd making a commotion, he said, 'Go away, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping.' And they laughed at him. But when the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And the report of this went through all that district. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, 'Have mercy on us, Son of David.' When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, 'Do you believe that I am able to do this?' They said to him, 'Yes, Lord.' Then he touched their eyes, saying, 'According to your faith, be it done to you.' And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly warned them, 'See that no one knows about it.' But they went away and spread his fame through all that district. As they were going away, behold, a demon-oppressed man who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the mute man spoke. And the crowds marveled, saying, 'Never was anything like this seen in Israel.' But the Pharisees said, 'He casts out demons by the prince of demons.' And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" And may God bless His holy word as we look to it this morning. Jesus, as God, has a true understanding of all things. And when He was here on earth, He understood in a way that the people around Him could not what was going on, what was really important, what really needed to be done. Jesus knows the condition of our hearts, and He understands fully the deepest needs of each one of us. This was true during the time He was on earth, and it's true now that He's seated at the right hand of His Father in heaven. During His earthly ministry, Jesus was often confronted by large crowds of people, many of whom were sick or troubled in various ways. Filled with the love of God, Jesus felt compassion for them as they wandered about looking for help. Today we'll see the compassion of Jesus demonstrated as he recognizes and deals with the immediate problems of the people. And then as he presents God's ultimate solution to the problems of mankind and urges his disciples to pray earnestly that God would provide those who would minister the good news of the gospel to the world. And so as we look at this passage, we see the compassion of Christ and the love of Christ for people who are struggling and suffering. We see Jesus showing the power of God as he meets their needs. And first we see him dealing with physical needs that the people experienced. And so as we begin this passage, we see a ruler coming up to him. And this person, as you look in the other accounts of this, it's a little more detailed in Mark, for example, Mark 5. You find out that he was an elder in the synagogue. He was a person of authority, a person with responsibility over God's people. And when he first came near Jesus, his daughter was dying. And if you look at the account in Mark, and the man came to Jesus to heal her. And then the news came that she had died. But the man believed. He believed in Jesus. And keep in mind that there were some in Israel who trusted in Jesus. There were many who didn't. But there were those who did. And here's one. When they got to the house, the mourners were there. And back in those days, they would hire professional mourners to come and to make quite a commotion and the loud wailing and the mourning, and you paid them a certain amount and they would come and mourn for you for a while. And they were already there at this house by the time Jesus and his disciples got there. It's kind of a strange custom, but something that was widespread in Israel. And they're there, and Jesus comes and explains to them that he is about to go and bring her to life, and they laugh. And you can just picture the situation there as these professionals, they turn from mourning instantly to laughter and joking about Jesus. How are you going to do this? But he does, and he goes in, and he raises that girl to life. And they're amazed, and the word goes out, and we see people coming more and more to Jesus. As they go on, then, Jesus encounters a woman who had been suffering from this discharge of blood for 12 years. She had been suffering. And keep in mind that in Israel, if you had something like what she had, you were officially unclean. And as you walked around, you had to be, it was like the lepers. You had to tell everyone, I'm unclean, so that they wouldn't touch you and become unclean also. And so she had been humiliated for 12 years. She had been an outcast. She had suffered in many, many ways beyond simply the physical trial that she was going through. But she trusted in Jesus. And she came to him and she said, I don't even have to talk to him. I can just touch his garment and I'll be healed. And her faith is strong that he would heal her. And he did. And he makes sure then that he understands that it's her faith that's made her well. Of course, in those days, people were somewhat superstitious. And so it could be that the word would get out to, oh, just touch this cloth here and you're okay. No, it was the faith of the woman who came into that crowd, one who was unclean, came to Jesus, trusting in Him, and she was delivered because of her faith. We then see two blind men who believed that Jesus could make them see. And they looked to Him as the Son of David, and that's a term that's used to speak of Jesus as the promised Messiah. So they must have known something of the Scripture and must have heard. And they came to Him, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And He did. He touched their eyes. And He said, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And their eyes were opened. And then He delivers a man who is possessed of a demon. A man who had been made unable to speak by this demon. What's a demon? A demon is a spiritual being, and we need to understand that. It's a spiritual being, a servant of Satan, an evil spiritual being that can come in or go out of a person. Demons were not driven out by some psychological treatment. So you didn't go to a psychiatrist to be delivered from a demon possession. But they're driven out instantly by the word and the power of Christ. And Jesus did that. William Hendrickson defines, the commentator, defines demon possession as a condition in which a distinct and evil personality foreign to the person possessed has taken control of an individual and is able to speak through the mouth of the possessed individual and to answer when addressed. And Jesus cast that demon out of that man. And he was delivered and he was able to speak where in the past he had been unable to speak. And so we see Jesus. We see Him demonstrating once again that He is God. He has the power of God. He is God the Son incarnate here on earth. And He does things that no one else is able to do. He has the power of God. But the Pharisees said, "He casts out demons by the prince of demons." And you notice, and you'll notice as we go further and further into Matthew, that the opposition and the hatred of the Pharisees for Jesus is beginning to grow and to grow and to grow as they see Jesus faithfully proclaiming the good news and delivering people from their afflictions. But Jesus knew that the greater need is a spiritual need. Because these people are spiritually lost. He sees the crowds wandering about, looking for someone to help them. And they come to Jesus. Many of them are coming to Jesus simply because the word gets out. And you'll notice each of these accounts, the word spread through the district. The word spread through the district. The word spread through the district. And people are coming to see Jesus and to see if maybe He can bring deliverance to them from whatever was ailing them. But they didn't understand what He was doing or why. They just knew that He could do things that others couldn't do. And they're coming, and they're like sheep that are left alone without a shepherd, wandering about the pasture. Imagine what would happen to a flock of sheep if they're left uncared for. They'd be helpless. Sheep tend to be pretty helpless. They need direction. They need careful guiding. They're not animals that know what to do. And so they would have been unsure. And these people were unsure where to go. They would have been exposed to all kinds of danger. And the sheep out in the wilderness, left alone, would be exposed to the weather, the wolves, the hunger and thirst if they went in the wrong place and there wasn't food or water. They needed a shepherd to guide them, to show them where to go, to protect them from the predators that might come. They would be in a hopeless condition if left on their own. And these people that Jesus was confronting were in a hopeless condition. They were on their own. Most of those in the crowds had not found the true peace which only comes through faith in Christ as the true, the good shepherd sent by God. Those who, of course many of them were, involved in Judaism, they were burdened by an unloving legalism where the scribes and the Pharisees had taken the law of God and had come up with their own little man-made interpretations of all these things and required perfect obedience to them and looked up to anyone who could point to any level of obedience to these things or even tried, and they looked at this as a way of coming to God and making oneself acceptable to God. Others had beliefs in false gods, gods of their own imaginations, and gods, of course, that were powerless to bring them any help. Well, Jesus had come to bring the true peace of God, the true peace with God that would ultimately deliver all who trust in Him alone for their salvation. And so we see His compassion here. And we see His compassion demonstrated as He presents God's ultimate solution. You see, these things that we've read as He restores life and restores health, those are temporary. They're important to that person, certainly. But they are minor temporary things in comparison to the eternal spiritual condition of the people's souls. And so Jesus comes and He proclaims the gospel of the kingdom as He heals the diseases and afflictions. And He acknowledges and calls upon His disciples to understand that there is a plentiful harvest. There is a plentiful harvest out there, waiting to be picked. But there were few workers to do the harvesting. And if you ever worked on a farm, you know that it's important to have enough people there when it's time to harvest the crops, to get the crop in time before it spoils in the field. And Jesus is looking upon the world and the people in the world as a crop waiting for that harvest. And there weren't very many workers. The people were coming and looking for something, but they didn't know what they were looking for or where to look. They were headed for eternal destruction. They were aimlessly wandering, but not finding the truth. They needed workers to go out and to proclaim the truth that the harvest might be brought in. The Jews were seeking to follow their man-made rules in a vain effort to earn God's favor. Other people were looking at Jesus as some kind of magician that would take care of whatever physical needs they had. And of course, there were some that were looking for Jesus as a political leader to overthrow the Romans. Jesus knew, because Jesus knows all things as God, that they would one day face judgment and eternal hell unless they turned to Him for deliverance from their sin. And Jesus felt compassion for them. And so it's necessary for them to hear the gospel preached. Jesus did that. But the harvest is huge and worldwide. And Jesus knew that. Because once again, Jesus knew all things. God uses the gospel to bring conviction of sin and the good news of God's provision of deliverance from that sin through the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ Himself. The Holy Spirit applies that in the hearts of God's people as He gives them new life to their dead hearts and opens their understanding and gives the gift of faith in Christ that they may believe and trust in Him. This is the ordinary means used by God to bring people to Himself. But that calls for workers. That calls for workers to go out into the harvest and to bring that harvest in. And so Jesus calls for those workers. He doesn't just leave the people wandering aimlessly. He understands perfectly what the need is. And He understands that the need is great and enormous, and that that word needs to go to the ends of the earth. And so He makes sure that His disciples understand that need. And He calls on them to pray that God would raise up those workers for the harvest. And it's important to note that the prayer is that God would raise up the workers. They'll be called by God to do the work. And so it's a calling from God upon His people. It's a calling from God to raise up those who would go out and proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth. God is the one who prepares them, and God is the one who sends them forth, and God is the one who uses the gospel that they preach to bring sinners to Himself as the Holy Spirit applies that word in their hearts. And that call is still there. That need is still there. And the call is upon you and I to examine ourselves and see how we may be used, how we may be workers in that harvest. God raises up His ministers, and He calls upon people to consider that call. And that's an important call for you to consider. Has God called you to be one of those workers? May God bless us as we think about these things. And may God raise up those workers for the harvest. The harvest is still out there. But we see the great blessing of God as He has sent workers into the ends of the earth. But there are still those who have not heard. There are still those who have not heard that good news. And we know of people that have gone out, and we need to be praying for them, and that there would be more and more, that the gospel would go forth. And may God use us to advance His kingdom in supporting and providing and in going, perhaps, to do that ministry. Let's pray. Oh, Lord our God, You have placed a call upon Your people to go forth into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You gave that call to Your disciples just before coming, returning, and ascending into heaven. And that call has gone forth from them throughout the ages as Your church has been built up. And we pray, Lord, that You would continue to raise up workers for the harvest. For we know that the harvest has not all been brought in yet. And we pray, Lord, that You would raise up workers for the harvest, and that You would impress upon us the need for those workers. And Lord, if it is one of us that You would call, we pray, Lord, that You would open our hearts to see that call and to reach out and to proclaim the truth of Your word wherever You may send us. We thank You, O God, for Your grace and Your mercy that You have used Your church throughout the ages to spread the good news throughout the world. And we pray, O God, that You would bless us with opportunities to do that, even here in this place. May Your word go forth boldly and faithfully. May Your church be built upon that firm foundation of Christ. And we pray in His name. Amen.